show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to take time to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And I have to admit, it has been a while since we have had a book review. This one in particular is certainly riveting and revealing, to say the least. Tiger Woods' infidelities, it has been the most talked about and covered scandal over the past 6 months and could perhaps be the biggest and saddest example of self-destruction. The title of the book is Tiger, The Real Story, and we are delighted to welcome onto the program Steve Helling. He is with People Magazine. He is a staff writer and has produced this book. Steve, thank you for joining us this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I have to admit, you guys have covered a number of splashy headlines throughout the years, but is this the biggest shocker of all that, Steve, you've had a chance to cover?
That's a good question. It certainly was a shocker. I mean, you know, I've met Tiger so many times and really was surprised to find out all the behavior he was involved in. So this certainly ranks way up there in the shock ratio, I guess.
And it is interesting because you do chronicle and detail in the book that you'd had many opportunities to talk with Tiger and to have that relationship with him. I mean, was it that big of a surprise that he was living so dangerously, precariously? I mean, you are in the media. You do work for People Magazine. Had there been rumors that you'd heard about, or you just kind of displaced?
I did hear rumors about him over the years, but, you know, what would happen would be that my phone would ring at 2 in the morning, and it would be some bouncer or some club owner or somebody who would say, oh, you just missed it. Tiger Woods was here with a blonde, and he just left. And, you know, the problem was all of those sources were really shady type of sources. They were the ones who were asking me for money. They were the ones who really wanted to get their name out there. They were promoting themselves. So although I got enough of those to believe that where there was smoke, there was fire, not any one of those, you know, rumors that I heard could I really, truly prove. So when it happened, I wasn't shocked because I thought, well, you know, I'd been hearing rumblings about this for years.
And it is interesting because there is always, you know, so much misinformation that floats out there. Was the goal with your book, Steve, was it to kind of just lay it out and provide exact information and kind of get everything correct?
Well, you know, I had started this book way before the scandal happened. The last time I interviewed Tiger was last June, a year ago.
Interesting.
And, you know, I thought, this is an interesting guy. I spent time with his dad. I thought this would be a guy who I could write a really good biography on. And publishers just were not interested at all. You know, the answers I was getting were basically, well, you know, what is there to say about Tiger that hasn't already been said? And then, of course, when the scandal happened, my phone started ringing off the hook. The purpose of the book was basically to write a biography of Tiger Woods. And this is just a small part of his biography, you know, the scandal.
Well, and I thought it was really interesting. I thought you did a beautiful job kind of detailing and talking about Tiger's relationship with his father. Yes, he was his best friend, his role model, his mentor. It even kind of gives you a glimpse and perhaps, Steve, a little bit better understanding of why he has been kind of acting out in this bad boy manner, if you will, because he terribly misses his father.
He does, and, you know, that's certainly a big part of it. And then his dad was also his role model, his mentor, and his dad also, you know, was a notorious womanizer. So, and Tiger knew that. At least the earliest I was able to establish that Tiger knew about his father's behavior was when Tiger was 14. So as an adolescent, it certainly made a big impact on him. And it's interesting that Tiger picked up the good things that his dad did, but also picked up some of the bad.
And you also mention in the book that Tiger, you know, how fulfilling of a relationship that he had with his father, but that he does have one regret that he never had that opportunity to visit with his dad about how to be a father when he became a parent.
Yeah, and that's something Tiger told me last June, that he was trying to be a father using the example of his own father and, you know, had never really talked to his dad about how do you parent a child. So, you know, that was a big regret that he had.
Steve Hellings is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are zeroing in and focusing on his brand new book out. You've got to go out and get a copy of it. It is titled Tiger, The Real Story. And Steve, direct all of our listeners where they can go and get a copy of this book.
Well, they can get it on Amazon.com, or they can go to any of their local bookstores. It seems to be everywhere.
As you have shared this weekend, you have covered Tiger for many years, and as I understand, you live in the Orlando area. It had been rumored that, you know, that Tiger did live this double lifestyle. Where were you on November 27th and when you heard about everything and how it all just started to unravel?
I was hanging my Christmas lights at home. I'll never forget that. And I got a phone call from a member of Tiger's inner circle and said, you know, just so you know, this is what's going on. And I think the idea was they were trying to get in front of the story a little bit. It didn't really work for them. So my Christmas lights were half hung up and half not hung up for almost a week, and my wife wasn't happy about that at all.
And Steve, what did happen on that evening? There's been so many, you know, a lot of folks sit back and they kind of speculate what happened. Can you kind of share with our listeners what in fact did happen?
Well, you know, what I can tell you is what police believe and what the people who were, you know, there on the scene believed. And, you know, certainly there was some sort of damage to the inside of the foyer of Tiger's house. So it looks like there was some sort of altercation that it kind of expanded out into the street or, you know, into the driveway. Tiger clearly got in his car, and he admits that, and he hit a few things. Now, police believe that he was impaired at that point. You know, there were a few reasons. First of all, Elin had told police that Tiger had been drinking. She produced two pill bottles that he had been taking medication, you know, prescription medication from. And Tiger's behavior, he was snoring on the side of the road, which isn't something that sober people tend to do.
Right.
So police really believed that he was impaired, and they wanted to subpoena his blood to get, you know, to prove it. But the state attorney's office didn't want anything to do with it and wouldn't get the subpoena issued, which really surprised the highway patrol and the local police, who thought that they had Tiger dead to rights.
And were they able to find out, as far as if Elin and Tiger, if there had been any kind of fighting and arguing that had gone on? Because we'd heard so much about, you know, that she had hit him, and of course Tiger was very passionate about denying that she had never done anything like that.
Well, police certainly believed that this, in fact, I was told point blank by one of the investigating officers that they believed that this was a case of domestic violence, that it was just a fight that had become physical. And they didn't believe the story, really, that Elin had used the golf clubs to free Tiger from the vehicle. That just didn't make any sense on the surface. But, you know, without any sort of witnesses, without any sort of proof, it can always be speculation that that's what she did, but it would never be able to be proved anywhere.
Steve Hellings is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We're talking about the biggest story that, of course, ended in 2009 and it carried over into 2010. Tiger Woods, the real story. And, of course, Steve, once again, tell all of our listeners where they can go and get a copy of the book.
On Amazon.com or at any of your local bookstores.
Well, so much has transpired since the scandal. I guess the question that we have to ask now here in the month of May, going into the month of June, is will Tiger Woods, will he be able to ever rehabilitate his image?
Well, I think he'll be able to rehabilitate his game. I think that the best way for him to gain a little bit more goodwill is just to get back onto the course and focus and play the best that he can. I don't think we'll ever see the Tiger Woods that there was before this scandal, because unfortunately for him, you know, the Americans have a very long memory with things like this. So he'll never be the safe one that AT&T will hire and pay millions of dollars to endorse them. But he can still be a professional athlete and a really good one. It's just he will no longer be the golden boy.
And it was truly remarkable when he did make his public appearance at the Masters Tournament, tying for fourth. I mean, how stunning was that to have such a high finish after being away in so much drama over the past 5.5 months?
I think that what we were seeing was a lot of adrenaline going through him at that point, and he was ready to get back, and he did a really good job. His game was... Watching it, I thought his game was a little bit erratic. You know, he didn't have the consistency that I was used to seeing with him. But, you know, still, he proved that he still has the skills to be, you know, one of the best golfers in the world. And it was interesting to see that after that adrenaline wore off, how badly he suffered in his next two outings.
What is your take and thoughts on how Tiger Woods has handled the media, his management of it, and just even that press conference that he had where he really put himself out there? He was so transparent. Was it really just, you know, to say sorry to all the people that he has hurt, or was it just a way of perhaps trying to keep Elin around?
You know, I might not be the one to ask because I'm a little bit cynical about the whole thing. I think for how well he and the people around him, how well they built his brand over 13 years, they did a terrible job of crisis management. And I was really disappointed to see how they did. Because, first of all, that statement that he gave in February came too late, in my opinion. We had, 3 months worth of Where's Tiger?
Right, right.
When he finally got up to speak, it was something that it was scripted. It was something that was that he had practiced again and again, to the point that I got an email right as he left. He went through those blue curtains, and the email was from the PGA Tour that was giving me a transcript of what Tiger had said. It was the same thing that he had been reading from, basically. So, that doesn't seem like an apology. It doesn't feel like an apology. It feels like a public statement. And there's a big difference. And I don't think it went over as well as it could have.
Have you had a chance, Steve, to talk to some of the players that are on tour? We've heard some cynicism, some of the players that have spoken up, their thoughts about Tiger Woods, his indiscretions, his infidelity. But have you had a chance to kind of visit with some of the players? And are their opinions perhaps changing, or are they remaining the same?
They're evolving a little bit. There was a lot of annoyance when Tiger decided to make his statement on February 19th, just because it was inconvenient for the PGA Tour. It took a lot of the spotlight away from the tournament that was going on that Tiger had opted not to play in. And there was a lot of resentment then. And I spoke to a few golfers who, would say little passive-aggressive things like, well, King Tiger is back. now I see that, I'm noticing that people are softening a little bit on him. They're not quite as annoyed anymore. They're just kind of wanting it to be over and get back to play. They want him back playing the game. The only person who has consistently been, unhappy with Tiger is Jesper Parvanek, who put Tiger and Elin together. We will never see him coming out and saying good things about Tiger again.
It is interesting because even we've heard, some of the tour plays, even Phil Mickelson, he had come out. He was just very, providing support for Tiger, for Elin. Have other players like wives, have they tried to reach out to Elin and tried to help her out?
Not really, which is part of the problem with Elin. Elin has, part of the reason why this marriage ended and why she was so, she decided she was done, was because it wasn't just Tiger who was betraying her, but all the people around Tiger were providing alibis. Some of them were actually making travel arrangements for these women. So it was like she felt like she had been abandoned by everybody who she considered her friends here. And the PGA Tour, their loyalty is going to lie with Tiger, not with Elin. Tiger's the billion-dollar boy who got them all this, publicity. And Elin is just his wife. So I think we're going to not see a lot of public or even private support of her, unfortunately.
And, of course, we've heard about the $750 million lawsuit. Shocking, or she wants to hit him where it hurts the most?
Well, it will hit him where it hurts. And, I spoke to someone in his circle the other day who just said, everybody thinks that Tiger just has $1 billion laying around, and that's not really the case of how it works. He's earned that over a period of years, and while, of course, he has considerable investments and that type of thing, it's not like he has that much cash to give. So it would hurt him tremendously to give up that type of money. I still don't think he'd be, at the soup kitchen tomorrow, but he would certainly watch his see his fortune go down, tremendously. I think that's just what, that's probably a first offer that her attorneys are giving, and I think we'll see some back and forth before they finally agree on a number that works for everybody.
Well, Steve, set the record straight, too. I thought when Tiger was going through his rehab, trying to work things out, that she was going out there and visiting him and that they were trying to reconcile and work things out. So I was a bit surprised when I had heard about that $750 million figure.
Well, see what? They were trying to work things out. And, it looked for a while as though she might really stick with him. And I don't know exactly what the point was that made things change. I don't know if it was when woman number 9 came forward or 13 or 6. I don't know. And it doesn't really matter at that point. But at some point, around March, she decided that enough was enough. And we were seeing signs of that beforehand. You know, when he gave his public statement on February 19th, she went to the gym while he was giving the statement. And, you know, she was made it a point to be photographed by the paparazzi, you know, carrying her gym bag and her gym clothes. So the statement there was to say, you know, I have my own life and things to do. I don't have time to listen to his statement.
You're listening to the voice of Steve Ellings. Of course, he is with People Magazine. He is a staff writer and has a brand new book out. It is titled Tiger, The Real Story. And you really do detail in the book, talking about Elin, her hesitation to date, to marry a man who really seemed to enjoy the attention of pretty gals or pretty women. And in fact, Tiger had even asked her to sign a prenuptial agreement. So she kind of knew what she was getting into, did she?
She did. But, you know, there was one fatal flaw with that prenup. And that prenup had a clause in it that said that everything could be renegotiated in the case of either abuse or infidelity. And, of course, we're dealing with infidelity right now. So certainly everything can be renegotiated. So although it was for $20 million for 10 years, you know, I've been told by people from both sides that that's actually not worth the papers written on at this point.
I thought it was kind of interesting, too, that you do talk about in the book as well, Tiger's father's first marriage that produced two brothers and a sister. And I'm just curious, I mean, does Tiger, does he have a relationship with his half-brothers and sister?
No, he doesn't. I mean, when he was very little, of course, he had a little better relationship with them, a little more interaction. But, you know, when he went pro, he basically just stopped talking to them, not because there was any sort of animosity, but whether it's because he was too busy or he just had better things to do, it's unclear. But his half-brothers and sister have always felt a little bit slighted by him, a little bit ignored, and it's just they just don't have a relationship, even to the point that when they went to Earl's funeral, there was no real meaningful interaction between Tiger and his brothers and sister.
Is that how his father and mother wanted that, to kind of protect him from that?
I think so. I mean, the marriage between Earl Woods and his first wife, Barbara Woods, just didn't end well at all. It ended it was a very ugly divorce. It was very, there was a lot of animosity, and Barbara will always claim that Earl had already gotten together with his new wife before his relationship with her was over. So, you know, there was never any sort of relationship between Tiger's mother, Clotita, and her stepchildren, you know, Earl's kids. There was never any relationship there, and there was no real reason in her mind to foster a relationship between her son and them.
You also detail that Earl Woods' infidelities shaped a young Tiger that emulated him, and that there were even affairs that had gone on and that were an open secret. They were unreported by the press just to preserve that access to Tiger.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, it was interesting after this happened, and I started talking to all these golf writers, all these people on the tour, all these golf pros, and they were all saying to me, all of them were saying, oh yeah, we knew. We knew that something was going on. We knew that, you know, Earl would disappear for hours on end, and Tiger knew exactly where he was going. He was going to be with these women. And it was interesting to me how the floodgates opened after this happened, and everybody claimed that they knew. How many of them really knew, I don't know, but I will say that enough of them had stories that matched other people's stories to make me think that, you know, clearly people knew that this was going on.
Well, of course, when the scandal broke as well, then the sponsors started to step away, and the first being, what, Accenture. I was a bit surprised by that. I thought, you know, that this too shall pass, but not in any way it did.
I think Tiger could have maintained his sponsors if he hadn't vanished for so long. You know, Tiger's MO seemed to be that, you know, if I go away, nobody will be talking about me. And it worked the exact opposite. He went away, and that made it even more of a mystery. At the end of the day, what we're talking about here is not the biggest, it's not a doping scandal. Tiger didn't cheat at golf. You know, the scandal is that there was a young, handsome athlete who liked the company of women. That's not exactly new or novel or anything. It's just that it went so far against what we knew about Tiger, or what we thought we knew about Tiger, that it became this huge scandal, and a lot of people decided to step away from him.
Now, I am curious. Tiger Woods withdrew from the Players' Championship May 9th with an inflamed joint in his neck. Was that from the accident? I mean, have you been able to find out anything about that, Steve?
It's hard to say. What he has is consistent with the after effects of whiplash. So it certainly could have had something to do with it. Tiger, of course, claims no, it had nothing to do with the car accident at all. But, you know, clearly it had to be something that came up relatively recently, because he was before the scandal, he was playing a full, you know, a full schedule and was doing very, very well. So, you know, this obviously has come up in the past few months, and the most logical explanation would be, yes, he heard it in a car accident, which sent him to the hospital.
Yes, and of course, Tiger, he's going to defend his title next week at the Memorial Tournament. That'll mark his return to the PGA Tour after 3 weeks of spending just, you know, rehabbing that injury, that neck injury that we have been talking about. I'm curious, I mean, Steve, do you get to travel to some of these tournaments to be able to cover him and help promote your book?
I do, and I like watching him play. I really do. I find him fascinating to watch. So it remains to be seen how well he'll do. I mean, he's very tenuously holding on to number one right now. You know, he has to play, and he has to play well.
And is he starting to, change his approach as far as the people that he is surrounding himself with, making better choices and not having, you know, being surrounded with a bunch of yes men and women?
No, he's not changing that at all.
Really?
His team right now is the exact same that his team was back in October of last year.
Steve Hellings has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. It is, without a doubt, a compelling read. It is titled Tiger, The Real Story. We will have this posted on our e-podcast page. And again, Steve, tell all of our listeners where they can go and get a copy of this book and perhaps where they can check out some of your articles in People Magazine.
Well, you can always go to my website, which is stevehelling.com. But to buy the book, you can go to amazon.com or to any local bookstore.
Outstanding. First time on the show. Great job, Steve. We will catch up with you again real soon.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to step aside talking TCU golf here momentarily. Stay close.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.